Anyhow, let me do some preaching. We've been talking about kingdom increase, and that's still in my heart. And we're going to specifically today talk briefly about mentalities, mindsets, and mental strongholds. Mentalities, mindsets, and mental strongholds that can sometimes hinder the increase of the kingdom of God within us. Because as I said before, the kingdom can increase outside of us. We have to allow the kingdom to increase within us. And that's what I was saying, that when we say, God, I want more of you in my life, and he was like, well, let me increase to give you the more. And so we've been talking about kingdom increase in Jesus' message, which was about the kingdom of heaven. So let's go once again to Matthew chapter 4, verse 17, and I'm going to look at it from the Amplified translation. Tell you, the older I get, the further books get away from my face when I'm trying to read. Matthew 4, verse 17, the Amplified translation says this: from that time, Jesus began to preach, crying out, "Repent, change your mind for the better, heartily amend your ways with abhorrence of your past sins, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." Repent, change your mind for the better. When Jesus comes, now I've been showing you that our mentality has to shift from one day I'm going to heaven and one day maybe I'll make it, and I'm trying to figure out, and my job is to teach you all of the stuff that you got to do and stop doing so that you be able to enter in. The Bible teaches that our citizenship is in heaven, that I'm already a citizen of heaven. And when I was born again, I entered into a whole nother kingdom, a whole nother culture, a whole nother way of being, a whole nother way of functioning, a whole nother way of thinking. Too often what we do is we get saved and then we enter into how to act in a church building and what not to touch and what not to drink and what not to smoke and what not to say. And this is what you got to do. And make sure you pray. And make sure you read your Bible. And make sure you do this. And make sure you do that. And that's not working. Because what it's resulted in is a bunch of fake, phony, so-called Christians who on Sunday got to act like they're doing all that stuff, because at home they're not doing all that stuff and they're condemned about it, so they got to come in here and act like they're doing it because they think you're doing it and you're not doing it either, and you're both thinking that this person's incredible. And then when we got people who don't know Jesus, they're scared to come to church because the building's going to burn down if I walk in there. Because this is not a religion. Religion is behavioral modification. True Christianity is a total spiritual transformation that results in the knowledge that God has accepted me. This is what makes religion so detestable, because we keep trying to get something that God has already given us. We keep trying to earn something that Jesus has already paid for. And as a result of that, we go about practicing religious rituals and customs and traditions. And then our churches are dead and our cities are dead and our relationships are dead. There's no life in religion. The letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. That Jesus came, died, and the good news is he rose again. And when he came with the government of heaven on his shoulder to overthrow the government of the devil. And now he has given us the power and the equipment by the power of his word and his Spirit to increase his kingdom wherever we go. God's influence in the earth. Behavioral modification is futile, because if your mind doesn't change, and you can temporarily change your behavior by your own willpower, but if your mind hasn't changed, you're only going to change your behavior so far until your behavior goes back to following where your mind is. And so before we could ever get to change your behavior, we got to deal with your mind. We got to deal with my mind. We got to deal with how we think. Because when we think in ways that are incongruent with God's kingdom, we don't experience God. We aren't able to walk with God. We're not able to track with God because you still got that old wineskin. And when Jesus tries to pour the new wine into it, it bursts. Because your old, stale, natural way of thinking won't hold the kingdom wine. Are you hearing what I'm saying this morning? And so what we are shooting for is not behavioral modification. Do we want your behavior to change? Yes, but that changes. Listen, we name this church True Vine because we believe Jesus is the true vine. He's the source of life, and we are branches that are connected to Him. And when we abide in loving relationship with Him, we start to bear the fruit of the vine. We start to change. We start to love. We start to have joy. We start to have peace. We start to have patience. People see us, and we are extensions of Christ in the earth. We are representation of Jesus Christ in the earth. When people come in this church, they should experience Jesus. They should experience the kingdom culture. They should not come in here and feel what they feel on their job or any other place, because God is here, because God is in us. And the longer I walk with God, the more I recognize that God has put it all in here. And the reason we keep crying for Him to give us this and to give us that is that we don't really believe that it's already in here. And we walk by faith, we don't walk by sight. And so just because you don't feel healed don't mean that you are already healed. Just because you don't feel blessed does not mean that you're not already blessed. Just because you don't feel love does not mean that you're not already loved. Because God has put everything in you pertaining to godliness. It's in here. The kingdom of God is in here. Luke 17:21, that's what Jesus said. He said, don't look here, don't look there when you're looking for the kingdom of God. He said, the kingdom of God is within you. So He comes and He preaches the message, since the kingdom of heaven is here, what's got to happen is you got to change your mind. Tell the person next to you, I changed my mind. If I was going to come to your house, say at 3 o'clock, and we're gonna go eat some Chinese food, and then at 3 o'clock came, I wasn't there. 3:15, I wasn't there. 3:30, I wasn't there. 4 o'clock, I wasn't there. You probably go have some Chinese and then call and say, where were you at? Then if I said I changed my mind, that's all I would have to say, because the changing of the mind resulted in the changing of direction and the changing of behavior. To repent has become this stale religious term that means you messed up really, really bad at the club last night, and so now you got to cry and snot at the altar because I'm repenting. Till next weekend. When what repentance means is my mind changed in that area. So my direction changed, and I start walking with God, not away from God. So the changing of your mind has to take place for you to walk and flow in the kingdom of God. Because your natural mind does not understand the things of God. They're foolishness to your natural mind. This isn't about your natural mind. That would mean the most intelligent of us would be the most spiritual. And we know there's some very intelligent people in the world who actually hindered in spirituality because they know so much, or so they think. So He's saying that your mind has to change. And in 1 Corinthians 2:16 says that we have the mind of Christ. When you say I'm about to lose my mind, that would be a good thing. I've been given the mind of Christ. Now, once again, this is a faith issue. So you're thinking, it don't seem like I have the mind of Christ. None of this stuff seemed like it a lot. You think I wake up every day feeling like everything I got that the Bible says that I have? No, I don't wake up feeling like that. When did the Bible say we walk by feeling? We walk by faith because feelings are fickle, and they will be one thing today and another thing tomorrow, or three or four different things in the one day that, with some of you. And so if all it is about feelings, you're just going to be running around acting schizophrenic. It is about faith. It is about what I know. It is about the truth. No matter what it looks like around me, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And so when I walk by faith and not by sight, I walk in the kingdom believing that I have what God says that I have. And it's about time that we grow up as Christians and stop running around waiting to get something and start talking about what we already got. My daddy never loved me. Your heavenly Father does. Well, it's hard for me to believe that. My daddy never loved. Your heavenly Father does. It's harder for me to believe that than for people who had a good... You know what? Faith is faith, whether you had a great daddy or an abusive daddy. Your heavenly daddy loves you. And at some point in time, you got to dismiss what human people have said and done and get in this Bible, listen to the Word of God, and say, I am who God says that I am. I have what God says that I have. I can do what God says I can do because I believe it by faith, because God said it. God said it. And we got to stop with the immaturity now and always waiting to feel something. That's why we stay in bondage. We sing a song when the shackles, I take the shackles off my feet so I can dance, and you feel like you still got shackles, so you're going to be like, well, you're done. Because you don't understand spiritual warfare. Spiritual warfare says that I'm going to do and respond to the truth even though I don't feel like it. When I feel bound, but I ain't bound. I feel cursed, but I'm not cursed. I feel sick, but I'm not sick. I feel poor, but I'm not poor. And when your mind changes, you start looking at life differently. Ladies, when you don't feel loved, you will find many women who are promiscuous, and we call them sluts and hoes and all kinds of detestable names. I don't believe you ought to call anybody any kind of detestable name. People do what they do for a reason. And the reason many times you'll find young ladies who are hopping in bed with everybody is that they are hungry and desperate for love and don't know how to find it, and they got twisted somewhere. They thought that love and sex were the same thing when love and sex are not the same thing. Sex can be done in love, but sex can just be sex. But if you understand that God loves me, no matter who doesn't love me, doesn't matter, because it transforms my thinking. God loves me. The Creator of the universe loves me. Jesus came to the cross for me. But your mind has to change. Your mind has to change. And so, as Christians, the changing of my life starts with the decision to no longer think like this world. So go to Romans 12, 2. We know this one. I'm going to look at this one in the Amplified also. Romans 12, 2. Remember, repentance is changing your mind. Change your direction. Romans chapter 12, verse 2. The Amplified Translation says, do not be conformed to this world or this age, fashioned after and adapted to its external, superficial custom, but be transformed, changed by the entire, everybody say entire, changed by the entire renewal of your mind, by its new ideals and its new attitude, so that you may prove for yourselves what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God, even the thing which is good and acceptable and perfect in His sight for you. So this is the beginning. This is the job of the preacher. It's not to come up here and start preaching a bunch of stop doing this stuff. I ain't saying that I ain't never got to bring up sin or something like that, but it is futile to talk about sin if I don't first deal with the way you think, because we do what we do because of the way we think. And so the first step in transformation, the reason you don't see many Christians that seem all that different, the reason why you'll say, some of you are sitting there thinking, I knew people who supposed to be Christians, they act the same old nasty way they always act. That's because they never made the decision to no longer be conformed to the ways of this world. It's a decision that you make. I'm saved, now I've entered into another culture, another kingdom, another way of being, another way of thinking. And so now I'm no longer going to be shaped by this world system. I'm not just shaped by what my daddy said or my mama said or what my sister and them said or what my church said when I grew up or what people said you got to be because you're black or you're white or you're male or you're female. I no longer think in agreement with this world. I'm not going to be shaped by it anymore. Because you in another culture, the kingdom culture. It's, and so now, see, this is the problem. Before you got saved, especially if you got saved when you was young, even after you were saved, you were shaped by how you thought. You thought a certain way. You thought a certain way about a myriad of different things. So your mind is filled with all kinds of different mentalities, all different types of mindsets, all different types of opinions based on what you think about sexuality, what you think about money, what you think about politics, what you think about race, what you think about any number of things. You it's in there. And sometimes what you got to recognize is that the devil blinded your mind when you were unsaved. The Bible says that in 2 Corinthians 4:4, that the God of this age, Satan, blinded the mind of the unbeliever so that the glorious light of the gospel of Jesus Christ would not shine unto them in their hearts. So I don't care how intelligent you were, how much money you had, how together you think you had it, when before you came to know Jesus Christ, Satan himself had blinded your mind to the truth. And so you were shaped and you think a certain way and function a certain way and walk and talk. And it's all because of all of the experiences you had, all of the things people have told you. And you said, I'm an independent thinker. No, you thinking based on what somebody told you to think and you got in agreement with it. And so what the enemy did is he blinded you. But then you got saved, so your mind was enlightened to the place that you recognized that I am a sinner in need of a Savior, and Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by Him. You recognize, for God so loved the world that He sent His only begotten Son. So I recognize I need Him, I receive Him, I accept Him, and by His blood I'm forgiven, and I come into relationship with the Father. You got that? Kinda. You kind of got that. You got enough of it to know you saved and what. But you know what? When the Bible says we have been given the mind of Christ, it's not like God just took your natural mind and gave you the mind of Christ and immediately you start thinking like Jesus. You and I both know that's not true. I said this is a faith thing. And the more I believe it in faith, the more it can start to manifest in my life. So when I have the mind of Christ, you were still walking around thinking the same old nasty thoughts that you used to think. You were still thinking, being the same old pessimistic somebody that you used to be. And if you connect in relationship with God the right way, you start to see that the way I'm thinking is not in agreement with the Word of God. And by the power of His Spirit, you start to change how you see things. You used to think, hey, you can run around, have sex with anybody. You can do whatever. Hey, it's all good as long as I ain't hurt nobody. You can be gay. You can be whatever you want to be. It's all good. Then you got in the Word and found out what God says about sexuality. And it's supposed to change your mind. And so the ongoing spiritualization of your natural mind is what causes the change. Because my natural mind is decreasing so that the mind of Christ is increasing. So more and more I think like Jesus. Ultimately, I think like God. God's thoughts are higher than my thoughts. So I'm starting to have heavenly thoughts instead of earthly thoughts. And the more I think like him, the more I'm starting to act like him. The more I'm starting to respond like him. The more I'm starting to love like him. The more I'm starting to have joy like him. The more I'm starting to sacrifice like him. The more I'm humble like him. It's the change, the transformation is happening because your mind is being systematically changed. Are you hearing me? And now in Matthew 23:22, verse 37, when Jesus said, we was asked the question about what is the great commandment, he said to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. Now when you think about that, that when I say God wants more of you, you're going to spend your lifetime yielding to God like that. That he has more and more of my heart, more and more of my soul, more and more of my mind. Now, when you think about your mind, I want you to think about it in terms of territory. Okay, stick with me. Stick with me. Think of it in terms of land and territory. Can you work with me on that one? And so, think of how I think about anything. How I think about money. That's a territory. Like I would want to do, but it would have been too distracting for everybody, is to put signs up of all kinds of different subject matter. Politics, money, sex, love, authority, and make this whole sanctuary a mind. And see that the whole, and if I conquer this area, then I still got to conquer the balcony. And if I conquer the front of the sanctuary, I still got to conquer the back. So how I think about any particular thing, how you think about men, how you think about women, how you think about relationship. Like some of you think when if I say man, you think dog. Like if I did the psychiatrist thing, tell me the first thing you think of when I say this. Men, dogs. Men, liars. Men, cheats. Men, unreliable. And you know what? That got set in your mind at some place in time, and that is not in agreement with how God wants you to see people. Oh, look at that. So all men aren't dogs? No, all men aren't dogs. A lot of them, sure. What you've got to ask yourself in kingdom thinking is why the dogs that you say that men are the ones you always end up with. That's the bigger question. That's the bigger question. How it was this really sweet guy over here and this really nice guy over here, and you thought he's a dork, he's boring, and then the bad guy came up with his swagger. And that's the one you were just all ooey gooey about. And then after like a couple of weeks with him, and you just like how he walk and like how he talk, and you realize he had seven other girls that like how he walk and like how he talk too. And then you go, all men are dogs. No, them two, three other guys you walk past were not. But the way you think, because of what you experienced, because of what somebody said, maybe your daddy left when you was a child and didn't have nothing to do with you, and you translated that, I'm unlovable. So you got a wrong way of thinking set in your mind that says, I am unlovable, and so you gravitate. So you gravitate toward people who are going to confirm for you you're unlovable. We were watching a movie the other night, and this woman was in a relationship with this guy, and she loved the guy and all of that, but he just go over, and this guy would just have sex with this woman, and then he said, well, you know, I don't want to sound like a bad guy or something, but you know, you pretty much need to leave now. And she had the same disappointed look every time and go walk into her car feeling used, but then she'd end up back. So she meets this really nice guy. And after evening, the guy has this meal set out for her, and he tells her how cool she is, and they're laughing and joking. And then all of a sudden, her whole attitude shifts, and she says, you know what, I got to get out of here. And just left. Why? Because she's so used to being unlovable that when somebody loves me, it don't make sense. Or did I hit something? I hit something good. And so it's a way of thinking, and you have to remember, all these things are territory. And some of you stubborn-minded people, that's why you don't change. Some of you folks, you ask people, people will talk about racism, and I love when you talk to people about racism, and then you start to show them that this is totally illogical to see an individual person and already assess an individual person as this, that, and the other based on the color of their skin. And they'll say, I know, but that's just the way I was raised. In other words, that is so ingrained in my thinking that even though I know and hear that this is wrong and illogical, I still function that way because I can't stop thinking that way. Now watch. We love movies. My wife and I, those like movies like Troy, Alexander the Great, and King Arthur and all that kind of stuff. We need to know for the longest. We love superhero movies. We love all that kind of stuff. And so when you read the book of Joshua, that's what it's like. And in the book of Joshua, he is going to take the children of Israel into the land that God had promised them. And there are all kinds of cities and all kinds of territories and all kinds of different places that God has told them to go and conquer it. And so Joshua is going in the promised land, and they're conquering all these lands, and they're bringing them into subjection. And this is a great picture of what the King, Jesus, in your heart wants to do in your mind. That once you're in agreement in your thinking concerning one thing, that at some point in time he's going to challenge you to change your thinking to get in an agreement with how he sees another thing. Territory. And some of you got some Jericho cities in your mind. A big old wall that stops anything from coming in or going out. That as soon as I start to preach on it, you poof, shut down because you ain't letting that one in because that's so set in your mind. I know people will flip out every time I say anything and just love it. Every time the service is over, I just got to come tell you that was an awesome word until I say tithe. Boom. And it's just like Joshua and the children of Israel. I'm just walking around that daggone wall every service through the series until it's over, hoping to God to drop it flat so I can get back there and pull up that wrong way of thinking and set in your mind the kingdom one. You know why so many people get discouraged when it comes to Christianity? It's because you keep just wanting spiritual experiences and you never learn how to stay in consistent communion with Him, and you never change. And you find people who are changing and growing and excited about Jesus odd. You guys ever had people that, because this couple here, of my elders there, they always hugging and touching, holding hands, so on and so forth, right? And I'm sure you had some people go, I just think that's fake. Because they've been conditioned to think that when you was just rolling around in bed with each other, when you've known each other for 2 weeks, it was all great. Now you've been married for 10 years, and the natural thing that occurs is that you can't stand each other, and then when you go to eat at Red Lobster, you don't even talk to each other, and then you, the guy's always watching football, you're always trying to talk on the phone with your friend or go somewhere to get away from them, you can't hardly stand each other, you sleep in the same bed, but you better not let your butts touch in the night, because you really, you know, then because you're going to have to go sleep on the couch, and we think that that's marriage, we think that's a relationship, that's how it works. Well, we do that with our relationship with Jesus. We think that, because you know why? Behavioral modification gets old real quick. Let me quit doing this. Let me quit doing that. I got to stop cursing. I better stop cursing. Okay, because the more you try to stop cursing, the more you're cursing. The more you're cursing, the more F-bombs are falling all over the place. And you go on, and then you feel bad. Then the devil tells you, you can't be saved talking like that. Maybe I'm not saying anything like that. And then you come to the altar on Sunday to repent. Oh, God, I'm so sorry. I'll never do it again. And then you get back in the car on your way home, somebody cuts you off in traffic, and you go, F-bomb, boo! Here it goes again. And then before you know it, you're done. You're discouraged. You back in the club. You back in the bar. You back in the wherever you was before. You back in it because you gave up because there's no way I could possibly do this. And every time I go to church,
some guy is some dork in a suit sitting there telling me about how I got to get it right because I'm going to go to hell. You lost your salvation. And I'm like, hey, when I didn't have salvation, at least I didn't feel bad about what I was doing. And it's a way of thinking. They're territory. Religion is a territory. These are all territories. Now, what's interesting, when Joshua was going into the promised land, in Joshua chapter 5, before he gets to the promised land, before he's going in there, he runs into a man he sees with his sword drawn. And then Joshua goes up to him and says, are you for us or against us? And the man says, neither, but as the commander of the Lord's army, I have come. Then the Bible says Joshua worshipped him. So he wasn't an angel. Because an angel said, don't worship me. And then the man says, take off your shoes because the place where you stand is holy ground. That's what God told Moses when he was in the burning bush. And he told him, place where you stand is holy ground. Because wherever God shows up is holy. If we say, God, this is a holy place, only if God's here. Ain't no more holy than Hobart Factory if God ain't here. It's this old building. And so you come and find out when you study that that's called a theophany, a picture of pre-incarnate Christ, the second person of the Trinity. Joshua is the same name as Jesus in Hebrew. Jesus and Joshua is the same name. So when Joshua was going to lead the people to conquer territory, he runs into the second person of the Trinity who's showing you that the way you're going to conquer the land is you're going to let me guide you with my drawn sword. Now, what is the sword? The sword is the Word of God. It's the sword of the Spirit. It's the Word of God. And when you got saved, your heavenly Joshua on the inside of you said, I'm going to draw this sword and I'm going to show you the truth in this area, the truth in this area, the truth in this area, and every area in your mind that binds you up, I'm going to renew that area and you're going to change and become more and more like me, and everybody going to look at you and say, what happened? So when in our minds right now, what you got is you got the commander of the Lord's army that's taking you with the sword drawn to show you this is how you think about you. It's a way of thinking. How you see yourself. If I ask you, well, how do you think about you? If you might tell me something, but in private, what do you say to yourself? Just think about it. I'm so stupid. Well, if you think that, you certainly ain't going to go back to school and get the degree that you feel God's leading you to get. Because what you got set in your mind is the wrong way of thinking about who you are and what you are. And you say, I'm stupid and I'm unlovable. But then you go to the Word of God and it says, I'm more than a conqueror. It says, I can do all things through Christ Jesus. It says, I'm a son of God. It says all of these things which are the truth. And what you set in your mind governs your life. And so, think about all these different ways you think and ask yourself, do I think in a way that is in agreement with God? Now, if you don't know the Word of God, I can already give you the answer. You don't. Look, thoughts lead to thought pattern. Thought patterns lead to mindsets. And mindsets lead to mental strongholds. So I'm going to break that down. You got that stronghold? It leads to mental strongholds. And the way this works here, the way this works is whatever you get, it's like concrete. You pour concrete, and when you first pour it in there, that cement is not set. So I could put in there John loves Stacy or Joni loves Chachi. All of you that laugh show how old you are, see? Younger people be like, who is Joni and Chachi? But you could put in that cement whatever you want. But once it's set, you can't just put in there anything. Because it's set It's immovable, it's inflexible, and now it's just stuck there. Well, that's what the enemy wants to do in your mind. Think of the Garden of Eden. Once again, the enemy had no authority in the garden. The authority was delegated to the man and the woman. And so what does Satan do? He doesn't come, as I said before, and put them in a headlock and make them do what he's wanting them to do. He doesn't come to them and I command you to do it, because he had no authority over them, like he ain't got over you, but tell you to do stuff and we do it like we ain't got no authority. Just me. I know you don't do that. And so in the garden, what does he do? He tries to get in their mind. God had set in their minds the truth. He told them that of all the trees in the garden, and what I like about it is God started off positive, not with a negative. He said, of all the trees of the garden, he said, you can have all of those. Now that's supposed to be go, wow, look at all those trees I can have. Wow, that's incredible all that we have in him. But he told them, it's just one tree. Don't eat of that one. The tree of the knowledge of good and evil. On the day you eat that, you shall surely die. Now that's the truth. So they've got a godly mindset. Now the enemy comes and he starts asking her questions. Well, what did God say about this truth? Godly mindset. He told us not to eat from this tree. He told us not to even touch it. Though he didn't say that, but that's what she said. And then he said, has God really said that? Now that's when she needs to do what Jesus did in the wilderness. Yes, God said that. Well, Jesus said it is written. But she didn't. She thought, I'm pretty sure that's what he said. And he says, you know what? God knows if you eat of this tree, you're going to know what's up. You're going to be good news. The Bible didn't say it, but I could give me a little freedom here. And the enemy, well, just take a look at that. Look at how juicy that fruit is. Now, how does something that beautiful be bad for you? You know what I'm saying? Now, what she should have said is, you know what? It don't matter what it looks like. I can eat from all these different trees. I'm in paradise. No. She was like, once she seen it look good to eat, pleasing to the eye, then it was good for wisdom. She ate. And then she gave it to her husband, who was with her, who really is confused. And so he did eat. And so the way it happened was he displaced the godly mindset and set in her mind a lie. Once she bought into the lie that was set into her mind, it changed her direction and her behavior, and she disobeyed God, and so did the man. That makes sense? You still with me? Let me come over here so y'all don't feel lonely. I come over here every now and again, so I want you to leave the church and stuff because I never talk to you. So y'all got all that stuff I said over there? Okay. And so the same thing has happened to you in your life. That for whatever reason, you have ended up with things that were set in your mind that were out of agreement with God's word. The antithesis of God's word is set in your mind. And the reason that there's no growth or no change in certain areas of our lives is because we keep thinking like we always thought. And you know, one of the big areas is race. Because I'm one of the few people who will go here. And I will. One of those is race. And so even though you have Christians and they all be saved, it's still set in their mind that I can't get along with nobody but people that look like me. And so even if it's not conscious, all the white people hoard up with other white people and the white preacher. And then all the black people, even if they came to the church, the Spirit of God was moving. A lot of times they see and it was a white dude. So they're not going to be there. Right after the service, they out. And they end up with the black pastor and the black people. And so even though we all children of God in the way that the Bible tells us in Christ, there's no Jew, there's no Gentile, there's no male, there's no female. All those walls have been broken down. That's kingdom thinking. But because we have a racist mindset that's still stuck up in our mind, we haven't been renewed to be in agreement with the kingdom of heaven. So racism is as much in the church as it is out of it. You ain't got to clap. That'll make it less true. And because of those mindsets, even though God wants us financially blessed, there are people who poverty is just set there. And even though you have something in here from God, an ability, a gift, a destiny has for you that will yield for you something above the poverty line, you don't step in faith into it because something stuck in here just makes you believe you're just supposed to be broke. And I tried to make it funny a few weeks ago when we talked about if you go to a lower income place, you have some people, just because it's lower income, they take care of their property, they clean up their house, They that's how they think. They don't have a poverty mentality. It's just where they're at financially. This is what I can afford. Then you have some people with a poverty mentality that Donald Trump could give you a big $1 million crib right up in a beautiful neighborhood, and you put your Lamborghini on blocks with no tires on them in the front yard. Because it's set in your mind to function. My wife and I always call it a manifestation of a mentality. That all you got to do is look around and you can see manifestations of how people think. A whole city is all the devil's trying to do is it's not about the principality, the power, and the unclean spirit. They are real, but you know what they try to do? They try to set wrong ways of thinking in the minds of people so they can create a collective mentality and shift the power on Satan's side. So if you got a whole city bound by religion and everywhere you go, it's the big Catholic cathedral, and you try to come in there and say you saved by grace, you're going to have a fight on your hands. Let's go to 2 Corinthians. Let me finish up before y'all get mad at me. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Deacon Steve, I used to say back when we first started the church that I was going to get some little mats and some graham crackers and milk for people to take naps in the middle of the service. Moving on. 2 Corinthians 10 verse 3. Let's look in King James verse. It says, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ." Now, most of us don't, you know what strongholds are, because in the warfare that we have in the 21st century, you can't just build some big walls and stuff like that to protect yourself, because they just drop a smart bomb on you. Program it to just go get you. And so, but in ancient times, this is a good picture of a stronghold. A stronghold was set up to protect people from attack. So if a foreign king came to a land and tried to conquer that land, the foreign king was going to have to deal with a stronghold. And so, like, you see these flames and stuff, so it looks as though this is a picture of a stronghold under attack. But it's going to take more than you shooting an arrow at that to think that you're going to get anywhere. Correct? And so that is what Paul is referring to, because when he is in Corinth, when he's writing to Corinth, he's familiar with Corinth, and there is this high hill in that region and had a big, giant fortress or stronghold there. He uses that imagery to try to show people what goes on in their thinking. You got that? And so the stronghold is to protect something. You got that? So let's look at it in the Amplified in verse 4. It says, "For the weapons of our warfare are not physical, weapons of flesh and blood, but they are mighty before God for the overthrow and destruction of strongholds, inasmuch as we refute arguments and theories and reasonings and every proud and lofty thing that sets itself up against the true knowledge of God. We lead every thought and purpose away into the obedience of Christ." Now watch, I'm almost done, if you can make it. Is the stronghold isn't a negative thing any more than money's a negative thing. What you do with the money is good or evil. Of course, building a stronghold isn't a negative thing unless it's a negative thing it's protecting. And so when the apostle breaks down what a stronghold is, he says we refute arguments, theories, reasonings. There are justifications, rationalizations, excuses, are all we set up in our mind to protect a wrong way of thinking. Okay. So, when, say somebody has a pessimistic mindset, it's like a king in that territory. And it's got sub-kings, all kinds of other things that you think, mentalities governed by that one way of thinking. You think like a pessimist. So that means if I showed you 9 positive things and 1 negative, you would pay no attention to the 9 positives, and you would snatch out that 1 negative and meditate on it all day and go, "See, life just sucks. That's why I told you. There's no point in looking forward to anything, because every time you always get this one, it's just going to get torn down, and every dream that you had just going to be destroyed." It's 9 other things you could have thought about through the day, but you chose to think about the one thing because pessimism is set in your mind. And so when the kingdom way of thinking, which is rejoice, again I say rejoice, always. The kingdom way of thinking that says anything that's lovely, anything that's praiseworthy, think on these things, you dismiss that because you got that wrong way of thinking. Now the stronghold, when somebody comes and preaches to you, you need to be praiseful and thankful and give God thanksgiving and pray. Praise God. Give Him praise from the rising of the sun to the going down of the same. The Lord's name is to be praised. He's a great God. He's a mighty God. He can't be defeated. We've got the victory. I just want to give you glory. I just want to give you praise. I have inherited. I have a co-heir with God and a joint heir with Jesus Christ. And I can't help but shout hallelujah. Now the pessimist just said, because I'm coming after a mindset. I'm saying whether you lost a loved one, whether you're going through divorce, whether you got sickness in your body, no matter what you're dealing with, I'm setting in your mind, God is worthy of praise. Oh, I will bless the Lord at all times, and His praise shall continually be in my... That's a kingdom mindset. But then that stronghold of yours, when I'm trying to go after that thing and take that thought captive and make it obedient to Christ, I bump up against the stronghold, the reasoning, the arguments you have. Well, if you were going through what I went through, you wouldn't be all happy and giddy either. Then you got the justification built all up. Well, you know, after I was believing God for something one time, and then He ain't come through, and I lost my house. And you're talking about praising God. If you were sick in your body like I am, and hurting like I am, can't get out of my... That's the stronghold. The good news is the Bible says that the weapons of our warfare are mighty through God to the pulling down of a stronghold. So if you sit here long enough with your pessimistic self, I'm going to beat against that stronghold until it falls down. And I take that thing captive and set in your mind, I will praise the Lord with all that is within me because He's worthy. Elder Tim, some people clapping because they're like, I don't want them to think I'm pessimistic. That's what's going on. That's our warfare. And so the whole time we in deep prayer about the casting down of principalities and powers over the city, and I bind the religious spirit in the name of Jesus. You know when Jesus said that when you cast out a demon, the demon goes and it starts to look for dry places and find none, and it come back to the same house. Because he's like, I can't find nobody that can accommodate my agenda. But then I'm going to go back to where I used to be, see what's up over there. Then he said, he looks in there and he sees that it's all swept clean and everything's in order. And he goes back in there and brings 7 of his friends more wicked than him. And the man's last state is worse than the first. Because even if I cast out the demon, but I think the same. See, that represents to me behavioral modification. I swept some things up. I rearranged some furniture. I got it looking nice and neat, but I think the same way I always thought. So the demon comes right back, whispers in my ear the same lie he did before. I believe it again. He come back and is worse than before because your thinking never changed. If you heterosexual, you ain't going to have the devil try to tempt you with homosexuality because he ain't got nothing to work with. Ephesians 4:27 says, give no place to the devil. That means no, give him no room to operate. One translation says, never give the devil a foothold. Listen to what I'm saying. Never give the devil a foothold. So if I'm trying to climb a mountain, what do you always see them do? Looking for a foothold. And they stay there for a minute, and they're looking for some kind of way I could hold on or something. Then when they find it, they pull up a little further. And so what the enemy's trying to do is he's trying to find where that preacher, so he's talking about your money. He's just trying to get your money. You know, that's all they try to do. Yeah, I think that is. You probably need to change your mind. He said, yeah, that's all the preachers want. One's on TV, everyone's going, they're trying to get a preacher. That's all they want. That's all they want is money. Start asking them. So they can buy their fancy stuff and you just be broke and he feed your kids. He send his kids to college. You know why? Because of your student behind giving them tithes and offerings. For you know it, he's so up in there, now he can build a stronghold. Let me give you some excuses. Let me give you some reason. Let me give you some theories. Let me give you some justification. Let me give you some rationalization. Let me give you all that. So you sitting in that good church, you love Jesus. Oh, the love of God is there. I feel so loved. I feel so accepted. Until we get to the money thing. Now all of a sudden, the truth that was so enticing and incredible and amazing and feeding me, all of a sudden, here we go. That's what they all want. He got a new pair of shoes on, if I'm not mistaken. Did you notice every time he preach on money, the next week he come in with some new shoes? This going on the whole time. I'm trying to talk to you about seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness and all these things. And your broke self is still sitting there trying to talk yourself into holding on to a wrong way of thinking that's going to keep you broke. Has always kept you broke. You grew up broke. You're going to die broke. And the whole time when somebody tries to preach the truth that'll liberate you, the stronghold won't fall. And the truth of the matter is some people, not all, but some people will leave a church. Now, I ain't talking about anybody ever left this church because people leave a church for whatever reasons. I'm just telling you what some people do. Some people will leave a church because somebody started preaching against the wrong way of thinking, and that stronghold was so intact that they went someplace where they didn't talk about this because they were afraid the stronghold would be torn down and that thing would be taken captive. Whatever people are behind that stronghold, if they break that thing down enough and those soldiers break through it, they're going to take captive. This is why the Bible says we take captive every thought and we make it obedient to Christ. If there's a theory, see, this is the small scale. The way we're going to change this city is we got to break down the strongholds in the minds of people in the city and create a collective kingdom mentality that shifts the power from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of God. And you'll see businesses change, education change, you'll see money change, you'll see families change, you'll see it change because of collective mentality that thinks like the King. That's how we're going to do it. And he's given not just me weapons, but he's given you weapons for the pulling down of strongholds. So when somebody arguing with you back and forth on the job, you ain't got to get no arguments with them. Just love them. Just be at peace. Just be cool. And trust that the Holy Spirit will open up times for you to speak into their life. And they might tell you that's ridiculous, but they'll go home for 3 days thinking about something that you said because the Holy Spirit's still bumping around in their brain, breaking down their arguments and breaking down their theories. In this country, there are things exalting themselves against the knowledge of God. That's what he said. Meaning that things that are being set up as true that are a lie. The theory of evolution is a lie. That's been set up and exalted above the knowledge of God, but we've been given weapons that can pull that thing down and set the truth up that in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. There's lies being set up that says marriage isn't just a man and a woman. It could be a man and a man and a woman and a woman. And just like I predicted, now we got shows like Sister Wives and they all over Ellen and all over every other program talking about their life to convince people it's okay for a man to have 6 or 7 different wives as long as they're good with it. And that's going to go through too if we let that get set up as the truth. But if you believe in the lie, God can't use you to be the deliverer of truth. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Are you hearing my heart here? The last thing I'll tell you is there were places in the Bible, in 1 Kings, 2 Kings, 1st, 2nd Chronicles, where it talks about high places. This is what Paul's referring to when he says that anything that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, something set up as true. And when the Bible starts to break down different kings, the king that God was in covenant with, King David, which through David's throne, Jesus the Messiah would come. It would be an eternal kingdom. He has a covenant with David. And that's something, a good lesson for you. David was an adulterer and a murderer at one point in time, and God cut a covenant with him because he was so crazy about God, they had a love relationship. So your imperfection doesn't scare God or negate the promises of God in your life. That's a whole nother message. But he says that the good kings were like David. David wouldn't tolerate idolatry in the land. And so there were these places in mountain areas and hilltops before there was a temple where people would go up and they would give sacrifices and they worship God. Well, there was also idol worship going on up there. And so David, if he saw that somebody had set up things like Baal worship or worshiping a fire god, Moloch, or Asherah poles and all these different things at that time, that he would command those things be demolished and brought down so that Jehovah God would be worshipped. And so the good king, stick with me, the good king would be called a good king if he dealt with the high places. But then you had what would be called the evil king, and he was just filled with idolatry, and the whole land was filled with idolatry. Then it talks about a few kings where it would say they were a good king, however, they didn't remove all the high places. That's where you and I are always going to be as we progress, that we good people, that we love Jesus, that God loves us, but there's a few places that you have exalted above the knowledge of God in your mind. If you make a habit of defending what you know to be a wrong way of thinking, you will get to the place where you can't have hear God. Because all God asks is that you get in agreement with Him. He got so much patience, so much love and mercy. His mercy's new every morning. But what He can't stand is people who try to make a lie the truth, which is what justifications are. To justify means to make something that's wrong right. That's why we've been justified by Christ. We were wrong, we were wrong, we were wrong. But He, because of His death, burial, and resurrection, God made us right. He considers us right. When it comes to you, you got to ask yourself this morning, what strongholds have you erected in your mind? You know why you and your spouse fight a lot? Sometimes it's the clashing of strongholds. We talked about that in men's ministry. Sometimes it's the clashing of strongholds. Some wrong way of thinking that your mama or daddy put in your head or that you seen when you were growing up. That's why we have family foundations. Try to pull some of that stuff up. That you see this about mama and daddy, how they resolved everything. They screamed and hollered.
Well, you sleeping on the couch. You sleep on the couch.
And then you see that your whole life. Then you overheard from your room stuff like, if you think you're going to get anything from me tonight, you better make sure that grass gets cut. Then little Sally hears that. You want to get a man to do something. And then they grow up. I ain't never going to be like that when I grow up. Then you and your new bride have your first argument.
You go sleep on the couch.
First time Sally, a grown woman now, wants her husband to do something, can't get him to do it. Keep asking him. I just need you to cut the grass more often. I just need you to help me out around the house. She says, you know what? If you want a little special prize tonight, I would suggest you fix the door. Where'd you learn that from? That's the wrong way of thinking. God didn't create sex as a bargaining chip for a woman. I will give to the woman something to manipulate the man. Thus saith the Lord. I figure it like this. If it's so bad that you're just going through the terrible sacrifice that you're just going to burden yourself to do it to get me to do something, we need to have a different conversation. Because last I checked, if you like it like I like it, why do I got to pay for anything? This is about love and intimacy, not manipulation. I forgot about you guys again. Are y'all hearing me? Mindsets, mentality. Strongholds. Especially that poverty mentality that just sits there and keeps you thinking the same thing. That religious mentality. That religious mentality be so strong that people get set in their mind that you dishonoring God because you wore blue jeans. And you go up in their church with some blue jeans on. Ain't got nothing to do with Jesus or none of that. And they see that. You better duck. Them monks, they would tear their clothes. Blasphemer! Crucify him! Crucify him! They'll start throwing stones at you. Till there's a pile of stones on top of you because you're supposed to wear a suit, ties, and dresses. Sit, go to a bound up religious church and sit in a deacon seat. They will tie you up behind a horse and drag you and parade you through the city with a sign that said, I sat in Deacon Steve's seat. Now, if you sat in the elder seat, I could see that, but no, it's a joke. Let's stand up. I want us to have communion so you guys can get out of here. Oh, praise God, praise God, praise God. Praise God. Do you know that a stronghold, as I said, is not good or evil? So when Jesus was in the wilderness, he was running to his Father's stronghold when the devil came to him and tried to speak a lie. He said, if you be the Son of God, he said, turn this stone into bread. Jesus would say, it is written. He said, well, if you the Son of God, I know that the Scripture says that if you dash your foot against a stone, an angel lifts you up so you don't even have to dash your foot against the stone. So how about you jump off this cliff? Who you the Son of God? He says, it is written, it is also written, not to put the Lord God to the test. The way you run into the stronghold of God, he is my refuge, he is my mighty fortress, he is my high tower, is when the lies start to come. When you feel sick and you're struggling with sickness, and then the lie says, you know what? God doesn't really heal. You get all the examples of why. Say, it is written that by his stripes I am healed. When you get all these things in your mind that says you're cursed. You're cursed because you're cursed for 17 generations because somebody worshiped, would play with a Ouija board in 1702, and it was your great 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 grandfather, and because of that you under a demonic stronghold. Say, it is written that he became a curse that I might have the blessing of Abraham. See how this works? Don't do what I do sometimes, and just stand there and ponder stuff like Eve did. You know that church ain't never going to be nothing. Mm-hmm. You got to say, no, I know what God said. That we're going, it's just this church called Planet Shakers. I just love that name. It's going to shake the planet. We're going to shake the world. That Bishop Jamie, Apostle Jamie, he was there and he talked about those that turn the world upside down. Well, what happened in the book of Acts when just cause some Christians showed up, there was people in high authority shaking and going, these are them that turn the world upside down. Now, the devil don't care how many churches we plant if he know he can keep you blinded here. But the truth is too bright. Darkness and light never fight with one another. Darkness is the result of the absence of light. Darkness doesn't fight with light when you turn the switch on. It just dissipates because it's just there because there was no light. If we here, then this city can be saved. Because we're not the only people here. It's other Christians here don't believe everything we believe, but can shake this city by letting the love of God flow through us and touch the lives of people. Now, I'm going to tell you what I sense, and then we're going to do the communion. And that is, some of you are letting the devil mess with your mind. You know the truth. And now, when you're out of this building, this is not a magical building. It's not magical about this. It's got a rich history. It's a nice place. If there's anything wonderful about it, it's that God told us to be here, so he's here. Nothing magical about stained glass. It definitely ain't nothing magical about a pipe organ. Because one day we leaving here. I'm leaving. One day we leaving this building and we going to build a new building. It's the 21st century and that's what we going to do. So get out your mind now where you like puff the magic building. So you're going to leave and go, oh, this hasn't been the same since we left that building. If it ain't the same, it won't be because of a building. That's why you never see in the book of Acts the early church emphasizing a building. They're always just talking about the church that met in somebody's house and the church that was here and they met in the temple and they did, I mean, they just wherever they were. When you see Paul and Peter and those guys healing people, they wasn't always up in the synagogue when they were having a service. Peter is just walking around in the street and his shadow go over people and they be healed. Why not us? Why not you, Deb Tice? Why not you? You're a prophet. It's in you. Why not you? Don't let the devil convince you that God doesn't use you or he's not. God made up his mind before you was in your mother's womb about you, and his mind has not changed. All of you that think you can't accomplish nothing or do nothing and all the rest of the lies of the enemy, telling you that you're never going to make it, and telling that you're never going to have somebody when God promised you you're going to have a good man. When that comes to mind, go to war. Go to war and say, it is written, and I know what God has said. And if you can't think of nothing else, just say, God, I just give you thanksgiving. I just thank you I'm saved. I just thank you for Jesus, because then at the name of Jesus, demons tremble. We are in charge. We are on offense. We are not reacting to the devil. He's reacting to us. We are not trying to cast down a bunch of demons. They scared just because we hear, because they know that the weapons of our warfare are mighty through God to the pulling down of every stronghold that he's built up in the minds of people. And we're going to strip the blinder from the minds of the people in this entire state and world till they see the glorious light of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I just feel it. I just feel the lie. As soon as you get home, as soon as we hit about Tuesday afternoon, guys, that ain't never going to change. You just got to make up your mind. Then I'm going to stick with God. I'm going to stay in agreement with His Word. I ain't going to be saved. And then I'm going to run back to the same old lifestyle I had back in the day. I'm going to grow. I'm going to change. I'm going to recognize my destiny. I'm going to walk in it. I'm going to own my own business. I'm going to see things change in my life. My marriage is going to work. The devil's not going to steal my kids. I done made up my mind. They will be saved. You got to go to war and stop being passive and start being aggressive and start thinking like a soldier of the Lord Jesus Christ and recognizing He who is in you is truly greater than he who is in the world. And that God has not given me the spirit of fear, but of love and of power and of a sound mind. I can't be defeated because I'm already victorious, because I'm in him and he already defeated death, hell, and the grave. And there's nothing that can come against me that's greater than the one that is in me. You got to make up your mind. You got to make up your mind. Father, we just thank you for the victory. Thank you for the weapons that you give us. Thank you for the truth of your word. Thank you for your precious Holy Spirit who empowers us and equips us and gives us revelation. Thank you for loving us despite us. Thank you for all that you do and all that you are. In Jesus' name.